Top Shelf Fantasy.
All right, guys, podcast 314, December 5th, 2024. We're getting right into fantasy playoffs. One or two more weeks left, depending on your league settings. But we'll go over some week 13 recap, some big injuries, some top players, some bum beating pieces of shit. And then, of course, some sleepers of the week with six teams on bye. Of course, the NFL does it again to us. I don't get it. But anyways, Dows is in the building, as well as Derek as our guest. Hey. Thanks for joining, Derek.
Thank you. Happy beer.
Happy what? Oh, I think you said happy beer.
Happy beer.
Happy beer.
Happy to be here.
Douchebag. I'm Derek. I'm at the party. No, that's my thing. How's it going, Dows?
Good. I believe I'm statistically eliminated in like three or four leagues now, so it's been a tough week for me mentally, you know, bouncing back, but trying to set a lineup and not be that scumbag that's like, oh, I'm eliminated, so I'm just going to quit. And like, still setting a good lineup, doing my best, but yeah, you know, there are 15 leagues. You can't win them all, right?
Probably no, been done. No.
That'd be cool if I did, though.
Actually, a lot of money.
It's good to filter a few out so that way you can focus on the ones that maybe have a shot at winning good money.
Exactly. That was my mental approach to it, was let's just get rid of these ones. I don't even want to win.
Right.
I didn't cry myself to sleep about my Red Dog Dynasty team at all this year.
No, yeah, you were right in it too. It's crazy.
Oh, dude.
All right, let's get to it. A few guys on IR. Trevor Lawrence concussion. We all saw the play. Very
clean.
Very clean hit. No, it was bad.
Dirtiest hit since the Kiko Alonso hit on Joe Flacco. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
That one was brutal. But I was watching that in a hotel room in Las Vegas. I'll never forget. That's like you don't forget where you were. And I was like, that guy's dead. Like, yeah, he's done. And turns out he's still elite Joe. But
yeah, no, the Undertaker bringing the Browns to the playoffs and shit.
Right. But yeah, that one will always stand out as one of the dirtiest hits I ever saw live. And then the Aziz one, I think, is right alongside it.
Right.
We'll get to it. I have a note about it later. We'll talk about it more.
All right. Welcome back, CMC, and then right back to IR CMC with a PCL injury. Considered season ending. And I assume it would be, because I think the Niners are kind of done out of it. They still have a shot, of course, but tough schedule coming up. They haven't been in sync since like probably week four. But it's good because if you had Jordan Mason, boom, you get RB1 again until he goes down with an ankle injury and he's on IR as well. So his season's over, likely. So,
the 49ers are packing in the season like Corey is in all of the leagues that he's eliminated from. But the CMC injury was really interesting because I've never seen a player slide down, pop up, and jog off the field in the way that he got injured. Like, he's so in tune with his body, I think. I think he knew he wasn't right all season. Mm-hmm. That's my take on it.
There's going to be some part of him, too, that just goes like, yeah, it didn't really feel right. Like, we suck, and it's pretty snowy out here. Like, I'm going to go ahead and get off this field. I am done.
The medical tent is heated.
Yeah. Hey, you can go. You can head back out, Christian. He's like, nah, I need a few more tests.
I'm in that big coat thing they put on me. I'm very good. I'm very good.
Yeah, it looked a little nasty. I know the Achilles speculation was flying around with his like wobbly calf, but I was like, let's hope for the best. Then we heard PCL, and I'm thinking sprain because I haven't seen anybody say it was torn yet, but either way, it's the season over. Like, Niners, I think, are still in it because the division is so tight at the top. But
right.
One or two more losses, they're out, and those losses are probably coming soon. So why bother?
I mean, I think you could make the argument right now that the 49ers are a bottom five team in the NFL, period. Just the way that they're playing.
The talent's still there at a lot of the positions. It just isn't
They're so working. Hurt.
Yeah, they are hurt.
Trent Williams is out, you know, like now they're on their fourth, they're technically on their fourth running back, right?
Because fourth.
With Elijah.
And then,
Mitchell
of course, they signed a bunch of other guys in the practice squad and they get Pat Taylor. So it's just a disaster. So there's, I mean, I think you have one more shot maybe next year. So I think, save the guys, don't get Debo hurt.
Yeah.
It's just
The
hard to
last
see
thing.
the Niners not in the playoffs. So that's always a fun team to root for. So
The hard thing too is with Purdy. I mean, this is back-to-back years now. We've seen him nursing this arm injury with some sort of uncertainty towards the end of the year, and whether it's his shoulder or his elbow or this dead arm they were talking about last year, it's the same thing that he was struggling with. We were concerned about him making the start of this season. So it's like, how long is this going to be a pervasive issue for Brock Purdy, especially as he looks to capitalize and actually get paid? So the Niners could be a new look team next year if they don't decide to move forward with Purdy because of any hesitancy on, as it relates to that. I don't know that they will. I think you just try to get the guy right. I think he's shown the talent that he deserves the chance, but there's a world where they go another direction.
I
They may not
I
be
think
able
so.
to afford the guy. There's no cap space, and there's the dead caps for all these top guys are too high. You can't cut them. Right.
And
Yeah,
then you got to trade in for lower picks just to get, out of the contract.
with the resurgence of these rebound quarterbacks that had failed start of their, careers, like, you can't convince me that the 49ers aren't better if they never find Purdy and just sign Geno Smith. You can't convince me that they're not better.
Right.
So,
Or just kept Sam Darnold on the roster and
why
play
not
him.
go take a shot on Daniel Jones and surround him with the best talent on offensive line and wide
Well,
receiver he's
you
ever
can't
seen?
do that one, Corey. Come on,
Yeah.
Daniel Jones.
You're going a little
But
too deep here, okay? you know what I mean? Say, like,
If you
not
said Drew
necessarily
Lock,
him, but okay, Drew
maybe
Lock,
Drew Lock, but I'm not going Daniel Jones. Come on.
any number of guys though. Like,
Yeah. It's
you put him in
a
that
good point.
situation.
Right.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
Not Mac Jones.
Not Matt Jones.
Yeah.
Another one, Taysom Hill. Season's over with a knee injury. Just too bad because he was crushing it for fantasy the last few weeks, like really crushing it. So another tight end out, which sucks. But I mean, Taysom Hill, he was going to have some 0 point games anyways at some point. So maybe he did this for you to get two more wins, and then he said, "Good luck, guys."
And the one thing that's tough too is that, like, Taysom Hill is tore his ACL, but he's also sneaky old.
He's like 32, 34?
I think he's 35.
35,
He's
and he's getting.
34, so he'll be 35 next year. So, like,
He's getting
sneaky
paid to
old.
like 40 years old because he just pushes salary down the line.
Yep.
I will say he has earned a lot of that contract, though. Like, he's not just a slum guy.
One of the best pure football players in the NFL. He just is.
Also,
As frustrating as he is.
he has snuck by for years by having the stupidest fucking name that nobody talks about.
That's true. Taysom is a dumb
Taysom
name. Like,
Hill. nobody rips on his dumbass name.
Like, it's one of those things, like, if you go to Hollywood, it's like, just change your name
Just
to, like,
change it. Yeah. Right.
DeBrickashaw
Be something
Hill
cool.
The Brigashaw is
or
infinitely cooler than
something like
Taysom.
that. Yeah, infinitely. I don't know why I think Taysin would sound better, but like Taysom is just—it's weird. But I digress. Treylon Burks has ACL surgery finally. He's been on IR for a while, but now it officially ends his season. He's not coming back.
So
He could go down as one of the bigger
ever.
busts. He could.
Why surgery now? Do you think it was like, does the ACL have to like heal in a way before surgery? Like I don't get why not the
Always
surgery after
swelling,
week four.
right? It's
Yeah,
just
I think just
swelling.
swelling and
Swollen, okay.
safety for surgery, but like he's been on IR for weeks, like
Yeah. I mean,
weeks.
it was the same thing with Hawkinson last year. Didn't get
Yeah, he
into
waited a
like
bit.
forever. Like I think December, he was out like early no November, I think. So yeah,
Yeah,
Treylon Burks is out, but I
yeah.
mean, I don't
I
think
think
anyone was.
with a slight tear, I think you can rehab it to get to playing strength, but you're always at risk of tearing. Like, I mean, if he wants to have a future, he should just get right.
Yeah, and maybe he should lose 30 pounds while he's at it.
Yeah, he's a thick boy.
Hunt more boar this off season.
Hunt
He
something
hunt
leaner.
he hunts boar with knives in the off season. I don't know if you've ever heard the story about Treylon Burks, but
I now like him a
he's
lot more.
country.
I like him so much more, but how about you hunt a leaner cut, like a ferret? A
They don't taste as good.
little more running
More
around, a little bit less
chasing
fat on
ferrets
the
with a
bone.
knife.
How was your off season? Oh boy, I got some stories.
Oh boy, he's
I
got a
got
friggin'
pelts.
necklace of ferret pelts.
Is that
Ferret skin
That's a
and
ferret. One weasel.
yeah. I have a matching hat, but it's in the
Left it out
Coach
back.
said I can't wear it. Right, we spent way too much fucking time on Treylon Brooks. The one person that's out is Romeo Doubs. They're playing right now, so yeah, I guess that's it.
He's out.
Questionable. Guys, want to start with those?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb is questionable with a shoulder, did not practice today, as did Brandon Cooks not practice today with a knee injury, or probably just maintenance of his existing knee injury. Both something to keep an eye on. I think CeeDee expects to play. There was a report that came out that Brandon Cooks wasn't going to play again this year. I don't know what the accuracy of that was. It's by The Athletic, though, and The Athletic's usually pretty dialed. But
Yeah.
then he was spotted at the practice facility. I mean, not practicing, but at the facility. So I would assume
Yeah,
that we
because
see
it
him
was
back.
an infection, right, in his knee that,
Yeah, he had to
like.
get like a cleanup surgery afterwards. Took him a little bit longer to get back than he expected, but like, and then he comes out last week and sees seven targets. So it's like, it's not like he was uninvolved in the game plan.
And a
The article
touchdown.
painted it in this sort of light that he was disgruntled, but I don't really think it's ever been Brandon Cooks' style. So I expect to see him back out there. In other news, DeAndre Swift is nursing a groin and quad injury. Did not practice. He's been doing that for the last couple of weeks, so I would expect to see him playing. The one that's a bigger concern for me is that Roshon Johnson picked up the concussion last week and is still not practicing and is still in the league's protocol. So a little bit more uncertainty there for him. Then DJ Moore also missed practice today with a quad injury, but I'm assuming that's just a veteran's day off, middle of the week. He doesn't need to practice to be ready for game day. So keep monitoring that. Jakobi Meyers is new to the injury report today. He did practice yesterday, but popped up with an ankle injury today. Let's hope that that's just a day off for him. Simultaneously, Aiden O'Connell at quarterback for him didn't practice today due to an illness. So keep an eye on that because I don't know who they have after Aiden O'Connell at quarterback because it's not Gardner Minshew anymore. So they're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
It's
It's
Desmond Ritter.
Desmond, yeah.
oh yes, my bad. The elite Desmond Ritter. So yeah, that's definitely a concern for Myers owners in terms of the relation to the quarterback. I'd guess that Aiden has 3 or 4 days to get right before the game and he'll be okay. Bucky Irving, who is still dealing with hip and back injuries after a great performance this past week, is not practicing this week at all yet, alongside Mike Evans, also not practicing. I'd say I'm more concerned about the Bucky news than Mike Evans. I think Mike Evans will not practice the rest of the year and he'll just be ready for game day. Bucky Irving, on the other hand, I'd expect to see maybe a Friday walkthrough. So big news coming out tomorrow. And then Breece Hall rounds out our did not practice list this week. He's dealing with a knee injury that seems to be reported as pretty significant. I guess just keep an eye on him. I'd expect him to play, but we'll see what happens. If not, bigger role for Braylon Allen definitely coming his way against the Miami defense.
Yeah, Breece is probably just deep in an ayahuasca den right now, getting healthy. That's my assumption. The Jets are a mess, and I
Well,
love
Aaron
it.
Rodgers did get a 2-for-1 discount. He wasn't gonna.
Netflix documentary comes out very soon, I think.
It does. I cannot wait for that.
Yeah, Enigma. He's
Is that what
the
it's called? That's so pretentious.
It's so
God.
pretentious. You
Enigma.
can't make
I'm a
that
mystery wrapped in an enigma, bro.
up.
Oh, what a tool.
All right, a few guys trending in the right direction. Baker Mayfield left the game last week for a bit. He returned, so he's back in practice in full. DK Metcalf limited both days this week, dealing with a shoulder injury, same as last week, but he played. Ladd McConkey, two limited practices, so he expects to play the knee and shoulder injury. Jalen Coker returned to practice Thursday. That he missed he on Wednesday, missed today. So,
Yeah, weird
all
one.
right, that's too bad. Jake Ferguson puts into full practice today, so he should be able to return this week. And Dallas looks better than we thought they'd be with Cooper Rush. So Ferguson could be good need for someone during this bye week. I'm sure we'll get to that during our sleepers.
For show.
You want to take the news, Derek?
Yeah, okay. I mean, this one's really interesting. Everyone was really interested in why Deontay Johnson didn't have snaps last week, but apparently it was because he refused to take the field. And the Ravens suspended him for it. He's gonna miss this week. And I mean, I don't know. I feel
Two
like his
weeks
career or it's
during,
two is a 2 week suspension.
well,
Oh,
no,
goodbye. And
during
then he
bye
misses
week,
the
yeah.
game, right? So the next 2 weeks, so I mean, he's going to be a non-factor in fantasy playoffs anyways, but in long term, if you're in dynasty or something, like,
just got to be worried about the dude. And like, me and Scotty were talking about this the other night, just like Tomlin's ability to keep these problem children under wraps unless they're punching people on the field like George Pickens, and you can see it. But like the actual mental stuff behind the scenes in Pittsburgh, they do a really good job there. Taking a page out of Belichick's book of just like not letting anyone know what's going on behind the scenes. This one, what a weird career for Eric Bieniemy.
So weird.
Fired, but yeah, they mutually part ways with the
No.
head coach that was supposed to be like his little brother, is what it was like billed as, in UCLA. I don't know about NFL return. I mean, we all thought he was the next coming, like the next big head coach after what he did with Kansas City and Mahomes and Andy Reid there, but he's just had two really rough years in a row as a coach. The next one is that Jim Harbaugh wanted to coach the Bears, and they said they weren't interested in him, which this one blew my mind. But
Absolutely nuts. That's
like,
so nice.
what?
It's so dumb.
I don't know. I mean, the Bears are a tortured franchise for a reason. It's like it's decisions like this that you see come out all the time from some of these franchises that are just absolute head scratchers. And like, because Jim Harbaugh's personality was too big. Like, did you see guys see that Jim Harbaugh bought all the Chargers lunch pails this week?
Yes, I love that. Just a little something for, putting in the work or something like
Putting
that.
in the work,
Here's a little
lunch pail
custom lunch
guys.
pail.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
lunch pail
But
guys,
little stuff like that goes a long way in a locker room. Oh, yeah.
it honestly does. Like, it sounds stupid and silly, but like, it's something that they're playing in a professional career. It's like, something to laugh about when you're having a good season and the vibes are good. Like it's continuing vibes. Like we talk about vibes all the time and just like how teams feel, right?
Yeah.
Like you hear a story like that and like everyone has a joke now collectively together on that team. Like
Yeah,
it's that
exactly.
simple.
And like these guys don't need Ferraris. They're all rich, ostensibly, most of them. And if you're gonna get big gifts like that, the quarterback can go front that. But a coach coming through and giving you stuff like just a little knickknack and something to remember the season by, and hopefully it turns out to be a good season and it's a building block. And we'll hear about the lunch pails 5 years from now when the Chargers make it back to the Super Bowl, and it'll be on their little, on their video highlight reel. Like, oh, what did it for you? Oh, I was getting a lunch pail 5 years ago from coach.
And just like how everything we heard from out of the Chargers from with their head coaching over the last few years, like really last 10 years, has been just like nothing but negative. But like these small things are just positive media for your team, and it helps. I mean, these guys are serially online. They're on social media. They're seeing people share that story. They think it's funny. They're showing their friends. They're probably snapping pictures of them to all their friends and stuff, So I think it was a good story. Aziz Alshayer, he picks up a 3-game suspension, which I think was a little low for what actually happened. More shocking, like the offsetting penalties because of a fight that breaks out after the play really, really upsets me. Like, I just don't understand
Oh,
how those are equal.
I was shocked. I'm like, all right, that's like by itself, and then like that's not a first down.
Right.
Like he
That's
almost
what that's
died.
like that,
I'm like,
but
you
yeah.
gotta hear the
Even
first
if you
down of
want to
that.
give out like offsettings to X amount of players, you just gotta tack one more on to the Texans for one thing. Just pick any other guy. Like I get if you guys get throwing punches and blah 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 in there, and you want to at least give them the one towards future ejection, sure. But to have it just come out as offsetting and no penalty is ludicrous. It's bad management from the refs, which allows that game to get further out of hand. I'm kind of surprised it didn't get more out of hand.
I'm
It took
so surprised it didn't get more out of hand. Such a good point. Like, 'cause I mean, like it that game was not on red zone at all day because it was a shitty offensive game. It was on red zone for 5 minutes straight because the fight took 5 minutes to just
right.
sort out.
And it was a
And we didn't see
legitimate
it for a
fight.
while.
Like it
Yeah,
was
a
not
legitimate
pushing
fight.
and shoving. It was a legitimate fight. And then
Warranted,
you
justified fight,
100%. And like you said, I mean, dirtiest hit since Kiko Alonso. We might have been talking about that pre-podcast, but seriously, like one of the most like late and obvious slides that Trevor Lawrence is going into, and just buried him with a forearm,
With a
like to the
forearm.
face. And I'm usually I would say I'm often on the side of the defender. Like it's a fast game, it's hard to make these decisions, but like this was not one of those. It
No.
was just so clear to everybody in the stadium that he was sliding. And he just chose to bury him. And then you've got other people coming out and like trying to place the blame. It's like, yeah, I get that there are other quarterbacks that kind of take advantage of it, and there are caveats to all this stuff, but just absolutely burying a guy who's 80% of the way on the ground is, I don't know, it's just absolutely ludicrous to see some of the mental gymnastics people do to try to justify a point and spin it into something else.
Where do you guys sit on the standpoint that quarterbacks shouldn't slide and that they should dive forward? Because I feel like I haven't seen a quarterback diving forward really get injured in any which way. Fumble, yes.
Yeah,
Fumbling is way more likely than the slide,
I don't
but
think we've seen as many injuries because we don't see them do it as often. And I think if you have them diving forward, you're risking
neck
further head
injury.
injury and neck injury just from the angles of collision. And if you have a guy just go shoulder pad to their dive forward, it can be just as catastrophic. We just don't see it as often, so you don't have the data set to pull from.
So one of the arguments in it is that the reason why the dive forward is better than the slide is because you're running forward, so falling forward is a lot faster, right? So like when you're running forward and then you back into a slide, like they're not baseball players that are stealing second that know how to slide and stuff, right? But like that momentum of 6'4" Trevor Lawrence moving backwards and getting to a slide is low is slower, but then also opens up his full neck and head area to the first point of collision because he's going down as the people are coming forward. I don't know. I don't know what would be better. I don't know the best way to coach it other than like slide earlier also.
That's the thing. You have to have some sort of conversation with these guys that, number one, you should be sliding at the same level as Major League Baseball players that are paid to do it because you're paid to do it as part of your job,
Yeah, fair.
or don't leave the pocket. On top of that, like Scotty said, slide sooner. Just you have to pull that trigger mentally and physically. And I know it's tough to do. Again, it's an incredibly fast game. These guys run the speed of, automobiles, but it's you just got to make it work. I mean, we can't see quarterbacks losing, their first of all their potential futures, but also 4, 5, 6 games a season to these head injuries, especially ones like Trevor Lawrence, who, are supposed to be the pillars of their teams. Tua, another example, and we can go back through the history books and find a million more. But there needs to be some sort of solution, and whether it's maybe the penalty is more severe, I don't know, but there has to be something. And then when the guy gets popped, you can't be penalizing the offensive guys for being upset that you tried to kill somebody on their team.
It's such a good point. And in the last bit of news, we have Chris Olave's meeting with a specialist before establishing a return timeline for his concussions and multiple concussions. I mean, this guy's
Now speak about a
belt
bad
and
hit,
lung.
right?
Two in a year, four that we know about, and God knows how many in high school and untreated, undiagnosed.
And
So,
if he keeps playing with Derek Carr, you know that's not the last one.
no.
So,
If you as soon as Derek Carr signs on your team, you book yourself for one concussion.
I mean, honestly, just sad. I mean, Chris Olave has been a stud since he's came into the NFL, and he's barely even come close to hitting his prime. So, and he would have another 10 years or so in his career. So, hopefully, he makes it a comeback and wears a goddamn guardian cap, even if it's a 1% increase. But talking about head injuries, it's synonymous with talking about football at this point. So it's just something we kind of all have to deal with too. You want to take the next segment, Scotty?
Yeah, I'll start with quarterbacks. We can go down the list. Week 13 top performances. Quarterback, fun game to watch. Jameis Winston, 35.98, 497 yards. He threw it 58 times, completed 34 passes, 4 touchdowns, 3 rushes, 11 yards. And in the Winston way, 3 interceptions, 2 of those for pick sixes. But we don't care because that's fantasy. Picks don't, what, it's -3. Who cares? Like, if you could give me the yards and touchdowns, I'll take it. And God, I just love him on the Browns now. Just such a, it's weird. It's like I want to watch the Browns now. Like, that's something I would not say week one by any means.
Yeah, they went from unlikable and unwatchable to likable and fun just by one DeSean injury and Jameis Winston stepping into the limelight. Like, the
I
guy's
love
always
that
fun to enjoy.
the announcers were even saying it on air during the game, like, do you think they would have been better off if they
Yep.
just played Jameis
I'm
all
like,
year? And I
we
was like,
said that week one. We
you guys
fucking
listen to
said
Top Shelf?
that. Yes, it would be different. It might be the same record, but it would have been fun.
He would
Like,
be
and you would have had,
$250 million richer.
and you probably would have had Amari Cooper still, to be
Yeah.
honest. Like,
Yeah. And Amari Cooper would be fantasy viable.
yeah, which he's not now anymore. So, Dallas, take the next big guy.
Yeah, running back position, top shelf performance of the week. Bucky Irving, 26 points even on 25 rushes, 152 yards, and a touchdown. Plus, he added three targets, three receptions, and 33 yards through the air. I mean, he's really come on. So I'm hoping he's going to be healthy this week. He out-touched Rashad White quite handily. Not to say that Rashad White was ineffective. He still had 11 carries for 76 yards as well. So it's just a great day on the ground for Tampa. But Bucky looks great. I mean, he looks fantastic every time he touches the ball. So hopefully he's healthy this week and can kind of try to build on this.
Yeah, at the end of the game there, he had a compression pack on his side there, which is his hip back injury. And I mean, this is the like, and he just the same as Kyren Williams, came into out of college, was an effective runner in college, was a little slow and a little short, and he falls into the draft, and then he comes and he's totally fine at the NFL level. I just think there's stuff to learn about pure runners in college that might be slightly undersized, but more importantly, not top end speeds.
Yeah.
And for the top performer for wide receiver, it was Jerry Jeudy hooking up with Jameis Winston there. 13 targets, caught 9 of them for 235 and a touchdown and a 2-point conversion against his former team, the Broncos. And I don't think that there was a player that showed more enjoyment in playing football this week than Jerry Jeudy. If you watch the game, dude's like on the benches taunting the sidelines and stuff. Like, he just really genuinely did not like his time there. I don't think him and Sean Payton got along last year at all. But it's good to see him coming on strong in the last few weeks. Same thing with Elijah Moore. Situation is very important for fantasy players, and sometimes you just need a coach that believes in you, and it can do a lot for your confidence in your game.
Yeah, best revenge game of all time for a wide receiver
It
in
has to
terms
be,
of
right?
yardage.
It's got
Yeah,
to be.
they played the little graphic during the game when he was at like 206 and he ended up going to 230. So yeah, smashed it. Just
Yeah,
huge game for him.
look to stream him in the playoffs too, Jameis
Yeah.
too. Like, man,
He
those
has a
guys
good
rocking.
schedule coming up after this week, I believe. So
And they're just picking up steam too,
yeah.
They're just getting very comfortable together playing in these situations, and they're gonna be throwing. They're gonna
And
throw,
they can they clearly are happy to play spoiler as they go through, I believe, the rest
Yeah.
of their divisional matchups. I mean, they have the
Right.
Steelers this week, and you know that they don't like the Steelers, so they'll be out. They'll be throwing.
And he's played
Yeah.
against the Steelers a lot too. So, yeah, I was up by 35 points in the matchup, and the other guy had Jerry Jeudy left. So I was like, all right, I won. And well, he scored 36 points. So I'll let you guys do the math. That fucking sucked so bad. Tight end Brock Bowers just continuing to dominate, 25.2 points, 14 targets, 10 receptions, 140 yards, touchdown, and just to add to it, just one rush for 2 yards. Just why not use a guy everywhere, which
Tight end sweeps.
they said they were going to, but I mean, and they kind of are, but yeah. So I saw the play. I'm like, just don't even do it. Like, don't risk that injury.
Yeah, why do that? Brock Bowers leading the NFL in receptions. I don't know if you guys knew that stat coming into this week, but after this week, leading not rookies, not tight ends, the NFL in receptions.
The
He's
first
been
time a tight end's done that in God knows how long, ever. I
Gronk,
don't
maybe.
know.
I don't know. I don't even
Now,
think
Gronk
Gronk
wasn't a
does
big
it.
reception guy. I mean, maybe we'd have to go as far back as like the Anto not Antonio Gates, but or like Tony Gonzo
Gonzalez, yeah.
and or Dallas Clark, maybe. Had
Gonzalez
hundred.
has to, because he's up there all time
I mean,
in reception, but he's played a lot.
if Brock Bowers finishes the season leading the league in receptions, I think we would have to go back to the 50s, maybe, where that might have happened. Like it's Dicka, or someone like that. But no, I mean, Brock Bowers is exactly as advertised coming out of college. He's a generational talent at tight end. Even some of the best generational talents at tight end don't come out and do this year one. But also, he's their best wide receiver if Jakobi Meyers isn't on the field by
A
pretty
lot by,
long,
yeah.
pretty far, and he's eating matchups, and the NFL doesn't know how to kind of cover this guy yet.
To answer your question, Tony Gonzalez in 2004 was the last person to do it at 102 receptions.
There you go. There.
102, a slow year.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Some honorable mentions from the week. We had Jayden Daniels hitting 28.6. Josh Allen throwing his own touchdown pass, hitting 28.4 in the snow. Bijan for insane first half. Atlanta really just threw that game away. And Kirk Cousins literally threw it away with four interceptions. Bijan had 22.5. Najee Harris had 21 and 8.9 points. One of the bigger things that we saw against the Bengals was them throwing checkdowns to Najee. He had like six or seven
Yep.
receptions and was kind of gashing him in the short checkdown lane. We had scary Terry McLaurin in 23.3. That Washington offense was rock and roll in the first half. Terry finished with two touchdowns. Mike Evans and Keenan Allen both for 21.8. Good to see the old timers get in there, getting their barbecue. David Njoku at 21.7. That Browns offense was really, really good, even in a loss. And Jonnu Smith, who's been casually unbelievably good at tight end, it's like a top five tight end this year with 16.3. Looking like he should have 5 years ago, but he's doing it at like 28. So, just some honorable mentions there.
All right, Dash, I'm gonna start with this. I love your thing. Spoiler, it's all the Niners.
Yeah, the
Yeah.
bottom feeders of the week. Quarterback Brock Purdy. Again, I put the asterisk. This is in the snow game, but how bad can I feel? Because Josh Allen is in our honorable mentions for quarterbacks, and he played in the same game. So Brock Purdy, 2.16 points, 11 of 16 passing for 94 yards, and he added two rushes for 4 yards on the ground. Just not a good game for the Niners at all. I mean, I don't want to say they quit because I don't think they did. They're a professional franchise, but they might as well have. They were overmatched by a Bills team that came prepared to play in the snow, and they just couldn't hang with them at any point in that game. So hopefully Brock Purdy gets it right, gets, feeling better, and can do something a little more effective this week.
Yeah, it was pretty clear early on that there was two football teams and one wanted to be playing in the snow in that game and one didn't. And it was just so clear early on. The 49ers had no juice in that game.
Yeah, I caught the second half because I was watching Gladiator 2 in the theaters, and then I was like, "Oh, I was gonna go back and watch the whole game," and I was like, "Nah, that's
Nah.
not gonna be worth my time."
Like, don't even need to watch a second half of
I logged
that.
it. Oh, yeah, I turned it on. It was like 35-10. I was like, "Okay."
Running back Chuba Hubbard 2.3, 12 rushes, 43 yards. I assume he had a fumble because of the
Math.
2.3 points math. Yeah. So
Yeah, he fumbled in overtime.
yes, he did. But I mean, Carolina's look good, but kind of weird that Chuba is the odd man out here.
John, and we'll talk about this down the list here, but John Brooks has looked like a spark plug in, so Chuba kind of taking a backseat. I mean, the fumble to lose the game's gotta hurt, just like mentally. Chuba Hubbard getting the extension this year too, and looking really as one of the steadiest running backs in the NFL, like just plotting every week, just eating yards wherever he can, and behind that Panthers offensive line, which is kind of pushing people around. Like the Bucks defensive line is pretty big. Like Vita Vea is in the middle there, eating gaps and stuff, and they still, they still were able to run the ball a little bit. I mean, he only had 12 carries, but 43 yards on 12 rushes is not a bad day at the office.
Yeah,
No.
three and a half a clip. And I
Yeah.
know the problem with Chuba is that like he either can't or won't catch the ball all that often. Like Brooks catching the ball out of the backfield, I think he had three catches, just looked a lot more comfortable doing it. And Chuba, if I think if Brooks looks like that, Chuba won't catch another ball.
Right. At wide receiver, again, another 49er here. Deebo Samuel, very, very tough year for this man. Five targets, four catches, 20 yards. They only threw for 94 yards. So if you're catching 20 of them, you kind of have a decent share of it. But
Yep.
in a game where they were down from the jump, they still just could not or chose not to run to throw the football even remotely well. Like in snow games, like one of the things that generally tends to happen is that offenses going forward beat defenses because it's much easier to go forward in the snow than go backwards in the snow. And still, like the 49ers, just like I said, they just had no juice.
Well, this is like the classic scenario I would have expected to see Debo take some carries, and he just didn't.
Yeah.
I think the sweeps were just too risky in that snow too. But I mean, like
Yeah.
the biggest thing is like you see like the who would I think one of the Niners RBs like did like a sweep, got it in the snow. Once you're already running, then it's way easier.
Right.
But you just gotta hand off right, I guess. But I think the fumble at the 1 yard line by Juszczyk,
Oh,
kind of
brutal.
just because they had a the finally a good drive, and
Right.
after that, I'm like, this game is now over, and their season's because of that's probably over. So, Dow's gonna take the last one.
Yeah, the final 49er on this list, George Kittle, 1.2 points, two targets, one catch, 7 yards. Just a completely forgettable game by everybody involved. I don't want to hammer that point too much harder than we need to.
But at least they didn't have a RB in the bottom feeders. But I guess losing CMC and Mason for the year does
Yeah.
that.
Oh,
And it sucks because
CMC.
Mason seems here, but running great.
Yeah,
Like
they've
probably 5 yards a
CMC
carry.
look
Oh, I
good.
think Mason was 7 yards a carry
Yeah.
until before he got hurt. So at least they were running well. But when you lose your two top backs, it definitely hurts. Few guys. Dishonorable mentions: Justin Herbert 7.98, Kareem Hunt 2.5. Pacheco's back, so we're going to see Hunt around that n number m more often. Quentin Johnston 2.2. He had, I would say, a good game. He didn't have zero in and a b bunch of drops. So Amari Cooper, once again, I'm not starting him in fantasy, but 2.7. Cade Otton 4. And Cole Kmet 4.1.
Yeah,
Yeah, the
Kadon
return
was a
of yeah, go
surprise.
ahead.
Kadon's been so integral to this Bucks offense, like when he's rocking and rolling, and definitely one of the poor Baker games I've seen this year. He definitely missed a few throws and stuff, but I remember Cade had one drop, and then they just never really went back to him in a game where they were in it and needed offense the whole time.
He was targeted in the end zone, I think, twice. Good coverage, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to think, like, at
J.C. Horn
least.
had the one of those breakups. It was a really, really good play by J.C. Horn.
Good player.
I think he's just taken a big dip since Mike Evans came back, too. I mean, Baker's looking at Evans every time.
Yeah, he Otten's not going to get the 10 targets like he was before, but I
Yeah.
think like
And
five to six as the second
yeah,
option. But
exactly. He definitely earned it.
just give it to Bucky Irvin.
But yeah, that is true.
All right, our last segment, we got sleepers of the week. Not going to do like start sits here because, of course, the NFL gave us 6 bye weeks in the last week before fantasy playoffs. And those teams are Baltimore, Denver, Houston, Indy, New England, and Washington. So that's a lot of players there, not just, crappy players. And I think
Yeah, like
the only good thing about this bye week is if you own a Denver running back, you don't have to make the decision to play them. That's the only good thing about it. Other than that, it sucks.
the other good one is you can now sit CJ Stroud and not feel like you're doing something dirty.
Absolutely.
Oh, so true. And you need to sit him at this point. It's he I mean he could have been our dishonorable mention. He had 14 points last week, something like that.
I don't think he's been like a top five quarterback, like
And
other
they're
than a couple
winning
times this
games
season.
like barely against Mac Jones.
On the back of Joe Mixon, the pass offense is not good. I
And
think
I
we're going to
mean,
see a new OC there next year.
I do love how Joe Mixon's, they're in the playoffs as of today because of him.
Yeah.
And that's only going to help running back contracts going forward because you're seeing what a player like that does for a team. And he leaves a team like Cincy, and you're seeing what that, and I know Chase Brown's been fantastic, but they could have had Joe Mixon and Chase Brown
Right.
and been even more dynamic. So it's good to see the RB, especially Derrick Henry
Yeah,
as well,
and
like all
Saquon, right?
Saquon
Like, I
Barkley.
mean, you got to talk about Saquon. That's like the Giants move on from Saquon goes and makes Philly's offense the scariest offense, one of the scariest offenses, one of
Because
the hardest to defend.
we talked about before, I don't know if it was on here or text wise, but I mean the weakest link to the Philly team is the passing game,
Right.
which isn't that weak compared to a lot of NFL teams. But
They
you
got
got
this
a
guy
guy like
called AJ
Saquon,
Brown.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so again, sleepers of the week, just fringe guys that might be on your bench, probably on the waiver wire, that we think you can start this week with all these big name players on bye. So Dow's going to take your quarterback.
Just from that list of teams you named, I mean, we're looking at five, maybe even six quarterbacks that you've been playing week in, week out. So, a quarterback that I would suggest picking up if he's available in your league or playing if you have him on your bench is Will Levis. He started in 11% of leagues, so a little bit high for what we're doing here, but it is what it is. He's had four decent games. I mean, 19, 16, 17, 18 points. Like, you can live with that from a guy like Will Levis if you're on a bye week, you're hurting for a starter at the quarterback position. There are guys that you start. I mean, Baker Mayfield last week gives you 12 points. Like, that's not a viable option if you're trying to win a fantasy week, right? Like, that's a 6-point gap, which can be significant. So, this week he draws a matchup with Jacksonville, who is just hurting all over the field, both sides of the ball. I think Will Levis will look to kind of build on what they started to do towards the end of last week, which really just chuck the ball around and hope for the best. But they did get slaughtered by Washington. But this week, playing hopefully with a lead, maybe give him a little bit more opportunity to run some stuff that they can actually put towards the future and put on paper and put it on tape, for, hopefully a long career in Tennessee for Will Levis. So I like it. I like the matchup. I like the position he's in, and I like his ability to probably, let's say, I'm gonna go say he's gonna break the 20-point barrier for the first time this year.
20 is high, but I think Will Levis is a great spot start. I mean, if you watch the dude play, he can make every throw in the book. And accuracy is like not really a problem for him either. It's just decision making. He's just kind of a meathead and kind of does dumb stuff.
And he will have those bad plays. He'll throw a
Yeah, and he
pick at
will.
least once, but it's just one, maybe two, but
I
I
just
do feel
feel
like
like,
he's guilty of that hero ball play like too
yeah.
often. It's just trying to do too much. Take the loss of downs, move along, Don't get buried.
And that's like he's like legitimately on the Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold track, Geno Smith track of like early in his career, trying to do too much, has all the tools. Will probably get benched again at some point in his life, but he'll pop up somewhere in 5 years and you'll be like, man, can Will Levis bring this team to the playoffs?
Cost San Fran. My sleeper streamer quarterback of the week, Cooper Rush for Dallas. Last 3 weeks, 17 points, 17 points, and last week, 11 against the Giants. But he's got the Bengals this week. And I mean, as good as the Bengals are playing offense wise, their defense, I think, is one of the like best matchups for quarterbacks and kind of any fantasy player because they're giving up so many points. And you got to assume since he's going to be up, or at least it's going to be, a back and forth game the entire game. And I mean, we've seen since he lose scoring 30 points a few times this season. So, again, Dow said before, I think, because it's one of Dow's sleepers. So sorry, Dow. But Brandon Cooks is back. He got a touchdown last week. Great red zone threat. I'm going to take Derek's. Jake Ferguson's also back. So, I mean, he's getting these guys back. And I always said it should be Trey Lance. Why not? But I mean, Cooper Rush gives them the best chance to win. And they're not out of it yet. That's the only thing. So it's not like there's going to be like, oh, go out there, run the ball in the game next season. They're actually still in it. So Cooper Rush, decent streamer. I'm not going to say 20 points, Dallas. I'm not going to give myself that loss, but we usually do 20 points as a hit for quarterbacks. But with all these bye weeks, if you're going to get 17, I think you're fine.
I think that's a better line. That's a smart line.
Yeah, let's make it 16. All right.
And the other thing too, and a lot of these players that we're going to talk about are on kind of worse teams, is like even if they're out of playoff contention, these are professional competitors. They're coaches, head coaches playing every game to keep their jobs and do their next thing. Like, there's no shutting it off or shutting it down in the NFL, maybe minus whatever San Francisco's doing. So which
Yeah,
leads me to my
because,
next guy. And that's Derek Carr. He's started 9% of leagues, and Saints vibes as high as they could be right now with the interim coach, the dude that clogged the toilet, I forget his name. But Derek Carr playing for kind of like relevancy inside the NFL. You know, like it would be very easy for a guy like Derek Carr, where no one thinks that they can bring him to the playoffs, to kind of teams just bow out and be like, why would I need to bring him and start him anywhere? So he's got to play every game like he's fighting for a starting position for the rest of his career. And I just think he's a good start here. They're going up against the Giants. The Giants defense looked decent last week, but it's just a divisional game. You know, it's Thanksgiving week. It's weird. The Giants defense front three is good, but their secondary is not very good either. So I think that Derek Carr can get you some points this week. I would not bet over 20 points, but he'll probably be somewhere in the middle of the road this week if you're desperate.
Yeah, and for Carr too, it's like he's got MVS now. He
Yeah.
was catching these balls. I mean, with
Yeah.
KC, he was dropping a lot of these
All of
balls.
them.
He's catching them, and
Love to
he's
see it.
getting a touchdown a week. Most weeks, almost 100 yards. So, I mean, you get a guy like that for Derek Carr, it's huge because he doesn't have too many options, but he's got him.
All right, moving on to the running back position.
Did you?
All right, I'm taking Sincere McCormick, running back, Las Vegas Raiders. You got Madison still banged up dealing with an ankle injury. He missed practice, or I think he was limited at practice again today. Zamir White is still missing practice, so he's not expected to play this week. And then you saw Amir Abdullah pop up on the injury report as well. Last week, we saw Sincere McCormick take 12 carries for 64 yards and put up 7.5 points. In a week where I'm desperate for anything, I'll take that in my lineup. He plays Tampa, which is a tough front seven, but really tough front four. But I like his odds of just breaking free. Maybe gets a goal line touch. Maybe sneaks one in. That's really all you need. If you can get one of these guys to score a touchdown for you, you call that a win on the week for, you know, an absolute dire emergency plug in on a bye week.
Absolutely. And I mean, the Raiders running back carousel, no, like Amir Abdullah is probably an objectively the best looking running back. And like Sincere last week looked just as good as him. I mean, none of these guys are really good. So like, even if Amir Abdullah is like kind of banged up, but still plays, like I would expect it to be more of a split anyway. So availability is the best ability here when you're talking about backup third string running backs.
Exactly. I saw him make one real nice cutback last week against KC, and I was like, I like this guy.
It's
That's all it takes for me. Read one
all it
play
takes.
and hit a nice cutback, gain like 8 yards. I'm like, dude,
Woo.
should I drop all my fab on this guy?
He would have been the biggest pickup until CMC and Mason
Yeah,
yep. went down.
truly.
So
Absolutely.
he was right there. So my sleeper of the week is definitely not as good as yours. You took mine. But Kamadi Vidal, the Chargers. 4 carries last week, but 20 yards. Gus Edwards only got, I think, 5 or 6 carries,
Yeah.
which is surprising. You'd think he'd take right over to the J.K. Dobbins role because it was almost a split with him and Dobbins to start the season, and he's the vet. But it just wasn't the case. They're going against KC, which is one of the best run defenses in the league, but Vidal was kind of known coming into the season as, you know, a stash guy in Dynasty because he could be that pass catching guy. You know, so if they are down and, you know, they don't trust Gus Edwards to catch the ball, which he's not that great at, Vidal could be that guy. He could see a few targets. They played Atlanta last week, like Derek said, it was more Atlanta just lost the game for themselves.
Yeah.
So Chargers got the ball a lot in easy territory, and it wasn't really a great game. You think Casey is not going to turn the ball over 4 times midfield. So just having a full field to play with for Herbert and Vidal against Casey, I think, is a decent spot for him. I guess this is very deep, but if you look at any fantasy site, it's like, oh, stash this guy, stash, stash, stash.
Oh,
You can just
yeah.
stash and just fucking play him during the 16 bye week. Like, when are you going to do it? Now?
Right.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think like one of the other things, like, or one of my strategies is like, if I'm grasping at straws to start people, I want someone that can house something, just like a gap. Like, and Vidal is kind of a guy like that. Like, he's a speedy guy,
I mean,
good footwork. Like,
it's like Chase Brown last
yeah,
year. Just a guy
right.
that can house it. And if he doesn't do it, not a good game. But if he does, then
Yeah,
I win.
if he gets one touch and a touchdown, I'm very happy with a flyer on that. Which kind of also leads, a lot of my picks are kind of like this, where they're like, my guy for running back is Jonathan Brooks. So this is his third week of availability, but last week was first game playing. But I mean, you saw the speed and kind of size combo that he has. I wouldn't, in Panthers vibes, as good as they've been in the last, I don't know, 4 years, like 5 years.
A lot of hope going around that organization right
A
now.
lot of hope, which is good to see. And like, when you have a good vibe, scenario, and then you also just have like someone that comes in right away and kind of gets half of the snaps and like, and looks like a spark plug. That's a guy that you can start and kind of feel comfortable. The one thing about Brooks is that he's going to be rostered on probably a lot more weeks just because of his draft capital this year. But if you do have him on your roster, I would start him pretty comfortably, over some of even the starting running backs right now. Like, I wouldn't feel bad starting Jonathan Brooks over like Nick Chubb. I wouldn't feel bad about that.
Yeah, no. I mean, Nick Chubb gotten the if he doesn't get into that end zone on the 1 yard line, he's not effective. And then me and Daz were t talking too earlier, like they're out of it. And again, players don't quit, but coaches can, not give a player 20 touches a game. Like, let's save you for next year. You're still on the team. We probably shot next year to make the playoffs. This year's a wash, but yeah.
And veterans probably get that more than younger guys too, you know.
Yeah, it's like shut a guy down to save him from himself. That's a totally fair stance to take, especially on a guy like Nick Chubb, who blew his leg up into a million pieces. Wide receivers. I had to get this one in early so Derek couldn't have it because it's his beloved Cowboys.
Love this guy.
Brandon Cooks. I love Brandon Cooks too. I mean, I've loved him everywhere he's been, man. Los Angeles, New England, Saints, like, love it all. So he's only 6% starter right now, which I would have thought would be a little bit higher after a 9.1 point week in half PPR formats. He had 7 targets, only turned it into 3 catches for like 16 yards, but found the end zone and kind of saved his day. But 7 targets is what I'm looking at. Maybe they're not the highest quality target coming from Cooper Rush, but whatever. Target's a target, and Brandon Cooks usually finds a way to come down with it if it's somewhat in his catch radius. So, I'm happy to play him this week again. Probably a plus matchup against the Cincinnati secondary, who is definitely a little bit lackluster. I, however, would expect Cincy to be up in this game, so hopefully it's a shootout and they're throwing the ball 40 plus times each. I'd love to watch a game like that. If you're starting Brandon Cooks, you'd love to watch a game like that. Yeah, it's really my whole thing. I love Brandon Cooks, and at 6% start, I'm not going to not pick him up for this sleeper stash.
Do you know that last week against Cincy's defense, Russell Wilson put up a career number in passing yards?
No, I did not know it was
He's
a career
never
number.
Russell Wilson just threw last week his career high in passing yards against the Cincy defense. And Cincy, if you look at their schedule, they're brutal losses in the 30s, right? Their defense is the worst defense in the league. I think it's pretty easy to say that too.
414 yards. Wow. I did not see that.
Uh,
Yeah,
and, and
he killed it.
killed it. And Steelers offense was rocking and rolling, even though George Pickens was just punching
And
cornerbacks
doing
on
the, was it last week or
the
two so we did the gun thing and they, all right, we gotta find you, man. Like, what are you
We gotta
doing?
find you. And
What
he's
did
like, I was
Tomlin
saying
say?
first down. I was saying first down. Oh yeah. Tomlin in a press conference said that Pickens need to grow up and grow up fast. To
And you know
the
Pickett's just
media.
going like, I don't care. Like, I'm good.
No, but I think Brandon Cooks is such a good one. I think the other thing that Cooper Rush, even though he's a backup quarterback, he's one of those backup quarterbacks that can still get from one to two to three in his reads. So the ball is going to kind of go in the right direction. Is it going to be super fast and super quick and really crisp? Not really. Otherwise, he'd be a starting quarterback, but he can read a defense and progress through his progressions. And I think that his first week we saw he had a really bad week, but it was because they had the Dak game plan in. They didn't have the Cooper Rush game plan in, which is way more under center. It's way more play action based. And I think that Brandon Cooks could easily have a good game. I think also it's a coin toss in a lot of these Dallas wide receivers on which one's going to kind of have the big game, especially if CD's out, but someone is going to hit in this Dallas offense.
All right. My sleeper is Parker Washington, wide receiver for Jacksonville Jaguars. Not a great season, but last week, 21.3 points. He saw 12 targets, caught six of them for 103 yards and a touchdown. And that mainly came with Mac Jones. And we know that, Mac Jones will start again this week against Tennessee. Tennessee is definitely a better defense, but again, if we're thinking Tennessee's gonna be up or this is gonna be just a back and forth game. They will have to throw the ball, so it won't be pretty with Mac Jones, but he seems to love Parker Washington a lot. Brian Thomas is there too, but if you're gonna miss Brian Thomas on these easy touchdowns weekly, Washington is a good sneaky bet because he hit Washington on those ones more than he hit Brian Thomas. So I think it's a sneaky one because if you're going to say who's the wide receiver two in Jacksonville, I mean, it's got to be him, right?
I mean, we talk about backup quarterbacks loving the backup wide receivers every single time they come in. It's because they have practice reps together. Like, Mac Jones is used to Parker Washington's speed, not Brian Thomas's. Plain and simple.
Good point.
Last week was just nice to see like Mac Jones come in and lose a game with a noodle arm. It just felt gave me nostalgia of his time with the New England Patriots.
I was waiting for him to throw that long to the sideline pass and just watch a pick six and just go, "Oh, I miss these days."
But I was just looking at Parker Washington's like start percentages or snap percentages, sorry. And he's only had three games where he's had over 70% snap percentage. Last week was 80. In each one of those games, he had four targets, six targets, 12 targets last week, 7.6 points, 7.1 in full point PPR. Even if you get 7 points out of an absolute dart throw because you were digging at the end of your bench, it's better than tossing up a zero or wishing that someone got a touchdown. Sometimes, playing on the field and getting targets leads to fantasy points. And I think that's a really good one. Can't believe he's on 4% start at this point. My sleeper wide receiver is Trey Tucker from the Raiders. We saw that Jacoby Myers popped up on the injury chart, but Trey Tucker is kind of more like the spark plug, small, speedy guy. Returns punts too. So he has the ability again just to be on the field and kind of house something or just get big play. He's not going to be a target monster or like a PPR darling, but he's going to be a big play type of guy. And he is super fun to watch. If you see this guy carrying the football or catching the football, he is a spark plug.
Yeah, I'm starting him this week in our Dynasty League.
Why
Have to.
dynasties? You'll have to. You're gonna have to pull at the end of these benches where you're stashing guys. Trey
Oh,
Tucker's a good
these are like real solid plays for dynasty.
14, our 14 team Dynasty League. I'm surprised you even have enough players to actually play this week.
Yeah,
Right.
straight up. Are we going on to tight ends? Tight ends. All right, mine's a little bit higher percentage wise than what you guys went with, so sorry for that. But I'm taking Pat Freiermuth. I just think he's like just perversely disrespected in the tight end realm of the world, and I like his matchup this week. They are I actually have him as my start for tight ends overall this week, so I took a little risk there with this start percentage. But they're playing Cleveland, and we saw, Cleveland definitely has some holes in their defense, and I think Pat Freiermuth can definitely find those holes with Russell Wilson apparently coming off a career day. I didn't even know about that, but I know Pat put up a good game last week. He had seven targets, six catches, and 68 yards, and actually found the end zone, which he hasn't been able to do too regularly this season. So if you can put together a game like that where we just saw the Browns give up a bevy of points to the Broncos, and they didn't do it to the tight end position, but they did it to guys like Marvin Mims getting loose down the middle. There's definitely some space to be found. And I think Freiermuth has the talent to do it. I think Russ Wilson has the talent to find him. And that's really it. His ownership's a little low. His start percentage is Start percentage is actually climbing as we speak, but
because they're probably, this is a live stream,
yeah,
so
this is a lot. If people are listening to me,
yeah.
this is trending. I'm probably all over Twitter.
Dallas is
But
trending.
I think Muth is a good pick. And definitely a guy that's a candidate to give you that 10 plus point week this week, which should be, high if you're looking for a tight end streamer because you're missing a guy like, I don't know, Mark Andrews, Zach Ertz, Dalton Schultz,
Hunter
even
Henry.
Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper,
Yeah.
whoever's playing tight end in Indianapolis, Mo Alie-Cox. If you're starting him, you have bigger problems. You should already have Freiermuth, but
Yeah, you have
definitely
bigger
a guy that can
problems.
replace one of these starters if you need to.
Yeah. Muth is a guy that's a good football player on the field a whole lot. And like at this point, if you're grasping at tight end, take those guys, right? Guys that like he might block more this week or chip more. But if Cleveland has an issue on defense, it's definitely through the stem of their defense or the center of their defense where Freiermuth really likes to thrive. So I think this is a really good one. And I cannot believe that if Freiermuth wasn't a Steeler, he would be a way more viable fantasy starter. Just pure and simple.
He's so talented. And I mean, we also said like if Russ is the quarterback for the Steelers, he hasn't really developed good tight end fantasy wise over the years. I mean, like we talk about Jimmy Graham in Seattle. So it's good to see them finally kind of like getting on the same page because he's way too talented not to be part of your game plan, especially in the red zone. My sleeper of the week for tight end is Chika Okonkwo, and I didn't stutter there, so I will pat myself on the back there. But again, we have Will Levis as a start as well with our sleepers. So they're playing Jacksonville, and they Jacksonville defense is pretty a bit abysmal. So he saw six targets last week. I think this is highest on the season, which is not shocking, but Will Levis is finally kind of going to him. The week before that, he had one target, but that one target was 70-yard touchdown reception. And again, this is an athletic tight end on a Titans team that has Calvin Ridley, who should eat. But Chig against the Jacksonville Jaguars should not, I'm not going to say eat, but is if you got six targets last week against Washington, who's a way better defense, I mean, probably six again, and for a tight end to get six targets this week with the byes, I will take that all day.
Yeah, and on the opposite end of starting a tight end that's on the field a ton, that is a good blocker, and hopefully you see him get targets. The other thing you could do is just go get an athletic guy, and that's Chika Okonkwo, like in a nutshell, right? And like he could be a 50-yard play, like out of a shotgun. The dude's very fast. He's very big.
Yeah, and it's not a deep, it's never a deep shot catch. It's almost a check down.
Yeah,
And he
it's like
runs 7 yards.
a
Like that,
2-yard drag route, and he's just
that's your
beat
tight
him.
end. Use
Yeah.
him that way. Like he's that good. And you talk about get like snap percentage for tight ends. Like I think we've kind of wanted more of these kind of streaming guys to have lower snap shares. Because that means they're not on the field to block. They're on the field. When they're on the field, they're on the field to run routes.
Right.
I know that kind of leads, I think, right into your tight end, Deke.
Yeah. And my tight end is rookie from Michigan, the Wolverine himself, AJ Barner, playing for Seattle. They're in pretty much, I think, like this has got to be one of the biggest games that Seattle and the Arizona Cardinals have circled on their schedule. This could be huge implications for the division. And I think like AJ Barner is a guy that we've seen kind of work his snap share up super high and then kind of sometimes go low. Like last week, he only got 41% of snaps, but what 3 weeks before it was 80 in the 90s. So I think that he's building more trust in the team. And also, he's just like that typical tight end body we see just like kind of work all the time in the NFL, 6'6, 250, just like this white, gangly, muscle dude that can play football. And he's an absolute banger, right? So like he's like more of the style of like Sam Laporta is, like where he's gonna go and bang on the underneath routes and stuff in body position and big hands, big catch radius, an absolute mustache and dynasty at tight end in my opinion. This is a stretch more so I can talk about how my love for AJ Barner and his dynasty value. But if you're struggling at tight end, he caught a touchdown last week. In the 3 weeks previous, he had seven targets, four targets, four targets, right? So I mean, he can get to that, five, six target range at tight end, which is perfectly fine for a filler week.
It's the highest, it's the, I think, number one pass heavy offense in the NFL
It
right
is,
now is
yeah.
Seattle. So
Yep.
any tight end there, I mean, some weeks might be Noah Fant, but like you said,
Kind of
Barner's
keep,
getting
yeah.
in the red zone too. So I mean, that's the tight end you want to start.
And the Cardinals defense, like if you watch them, they're like an absolute chaos agent defense, like where like they're sending Buda Baker on blitzes, like on third downs when like it's like third and seven in clear passing situation. They're taking like one of their best coverage safeties, one of the best coverage safeties in the NFL out, and just sending him on a blitz, like with his ears pinned back, because they're just trying to create chaos because they know they're not that good. Their pass rush is abysmal. They have no one. They're like the second worst pass rush team in the NFL to the Atlanta Falcons, who have like 15 sacks or something insane. So I think like Seattle, like a team like Seattle going into Arizona is like just kind of like maybe a blow up game for Geno Smith. And if there's passing yards to go around, you just want to kind of get in on that.
Almost like the Falcons should have listened to us and taken an edge rusher in the draft instead of a backup quarterback. But whatever, whatever. I'm not salty about it. That's all.
Honestly, it could be their starting quarterback by the end of the season, though, and then it
That's
would work
fair.
pretty smart.
And then it works
We
out
did say
well.
Jared Verse, though, who is in line for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So,
Oh, Jared Verse is an
That went a good
absolute
pick.
animal.
I love watching him play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm whatever. I don't want to get too deep into that. I could talk about that forever.
Let's redraft the whole the first round right now, real quick. It'll only take like an hour for us to get through these guys to talk about the ones we like.
Pod
Oh,
off.
this guy. Oh, yeah. Let me talk about him. Oh, this guy right here. I tell you.
But he's showing
This is a
potential in week
guy.
six.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. Before we end this, I'm just gonna go our top shelf listener league. All three of us are easily out of it, but we have it's a 12 team league, and six teams, of course, make playoffs. We have eight teams, right now in the hunt. We have four teams at 7-6, and two of them will make playoffs. And none of them play each other this week. So
A lot
should
of
be
implications.
a lot of implications. It's the Jinja Ninja. It's Terrence. We got our buddy Ingy, buddy Kyle, and Dave Lorden all fighting for those last two spots. So two out of the four will make it. Of course, top shelf team is not doing that well, but we're doing a lot better than Derek and his son now, who stand 3-10 each. So,
Yeah, just real quick in that league, just an update. I'm starting Quentin Johnston at Tolbert and Trey Benson this week. That's where my team is at.
nice.
Those
That is a solid team. It reminds me of
what
our one league team.
I would say those all maybe could qualify for sleepers.
Oh yeah.
Just
Yeah,
those three.
I guess so, sure. If you want to.
Gross.
All right, Dows, take the kids out.
Well, Shelfies, we appreciate you listening again. Podcast 314. As always, go online to Top Shelf FNTSY on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I guess it's X now. Instagram. Scott, what'd you put us on? Blue Moon, blue something, blue sky.
It's Blue Sky, yes.
Blue sky. We're on there as something or other. I don't know. This is a horrible outro. But shoot us all of your start sit questions. Start sits will be out again, probably tomorrow. And as always, stay fluid, stay loose.
Top Shelf Fantasy. Stay fluid, stay loose.
We'll be right back.